the container? Well, the apostle used phrases in Scripture describing that container. Say, for instance, in 2 Corinthians 4:7, he'd mentioned the treasure, which is the Word of God, that is housed in earthen vessels. Not a very complimentary statement. So it's the container the Lord used. Also in 2 Corinthians 5, the apostle used the phrase, this earthly tent, which was his outer tabernacle, you might say. Now this leads to a fact, and it's a fact I don't believe we consider it very often. If you'd like to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to read a verse. This is not going to be our text today. This is leading up to the text. It's to open up the doors to our meditation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Say what? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. How's that? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, for though our outer man, isn't that an interesting phrase? Our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory, for far beyond all comparison. While we look at the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Did you notice the contrast? There's three contrasts in this portion of Scripture. And they're there every time you open your Bible. Outer man, inner man. He's talking about believers there. Each individual possesses this characteristic. Outer man, inner man. Hey, Steve, what are you doing there? I'm sorry, my relatives are, okay. Outer man, inner man. Things seen, things not seen. Temporal, eternal. If we listed them, we would say outer man, things seen, temporary. Inner man, things not seen, eternal. About the difference, things we need to remember about that phrase is the outer and inner are not the same. That's important. Scripture always esteems one higher than the other. And we want to work at not mixing them up. So as we interpret the Scripture, a lot of times there are descriptive phrases there, and I think we have to stop and meditate on what that's talking about. This form of thinking with me came about when I went through a book of Galatians years ago, and it used phrases like born according to the flesh, born according to the Spirit, born according to the promise. And the dilemma I had is, well, what's the difference? So over meditation, years and years and years, I've come to various conclusions. Some of these I want to talk about today. So let's go to our text in 1 Peter. I want to thank Dan for reading that. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. What I just was mentioning is a preface to what we're going to be talking about. There's a familiar portion in verse 23, for you have been born again. We're going to be talking about that a little bit. Get the idea of what it means, review the idea of what it means and how we apply to us as our individual Bible interpretation. It's a very important concept. But if we look at verse 23 to 25, and Dan already read that, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass,
all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away or off. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this portion of your word. Help us to slow down and consider these things today, Lord. We know this is a very important bit of information for us that will help us in all our Bible interpretation and Bible reading. Help us to take these things to our heart. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, in verse 23, we talked about the concept born again, and it said you're born again of a seed that's perishable or a seed that decays. So when we're talking about born again, our new birth, and it uses that phrase seed, and we know what a seed is. Seed starts or it generates something, whether it's tomatoes or people or anything. He used that phrase seed, a strange concept, but a very instructive point of view. Once again, I had mentioned this in the Sunday school class, every time the word seed is used in the New Testament, it's the word sperma. We understand that concept with the generation of human beings. Now, he took that and he applied it here. And he says, you're born again, not the way human beings are born. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But he says it's, and we understand the word seed, even though it's not written there. It's not a perishable seed. It's an imperishable. And we could put seed right in there. Even though it's not there, it's understood to be there. So it's not a seed that decays. It's a seed that doesn't decay. The word Christ was used 9 times in this chapter up to verse 23, with the result being born again. So we can kind of come to certain conclusions about things. We're talking about the work of Christ. We're talking about the work of born again. And what it's not saying is it's not from a human regeneration or generation. When in the next chapter, Peter describes the result of being born again as a chosen race, a holy nation, a possession people, and this is the result of being born again from an imperishable seed. So we're not talking about a nation like we look at, whether it's America or Italy or Israel. We're talking about a new, brand new nation. Now, in 1 Peter 2:9 that I just read, it doesn't tell us what nation it is. It just says the result of being born again is this: a holy nation, a chosen race, a possession people. That's the result of being born again. So as we keep working along in there, let's just move ahead in our text here. In verse 24, as we read on, he's contrasting what he just said. He says, all flesh is this grass. So, and we've already stated, we're not talking about flesh here. We're talking about something brand new. Flesh, it's stated right here what happens to it. All flesh like grass, it withers. In other words, it's temporary. That's not necessarily, or it is not, the chosen race, or the holy nation, or the possession people. Not flesh. It's something there. Therefore, the perishable seed is like flesh. It's like grass. It has less esteem. It's the outer man from 2 Corinthians. It decays. It's the earthen vessel. It's the earthly tent. That's flesh. Born according to the flesh, we all were. That's the way we came into the world. As born-again believers, we have a new birth called born again. Now it's something different, has nothing to do with the flesh. Inner man, outer man. Things seen, things not seen. That idea. So that leaves born again by an imperishable seed, and as we read right along in our verse there, by the living and abiding word of God. I've got the word, written right here. We got to stop right there and say, okay, now what does this mean? Well, how can we use this thing? So we'll stop right here and we'll skirt around and we'll look at it from a different angle. Now let's back up and at verse 23, look at born again also, and do a little study there. And Christ gave us information. If you'd like to turn to John 1:12, Christ gave us the formula for being born again. And really, the formula is, it's not this way. That's the way Christ taught sometime. So in John 1:12 and 13, he said, "You've for as many as received him, to them gave he the authority, power, to become the sons of God, who were born not of blood or bloods." In other words, born by nations. That's what that phrase there. So we got our first not, how to be born again. Okay. The second one is not according to the will of the flesh. Now, we've been talking about flesh already. So the born again is not those two things, and it's not the third one here, not the will of man. So we get a picture of the connubial activities that we're all familiar with, being married. But it's not that, he's saying. Born again is something else. And you know that little phrase that follows all that? He said, born of God. Now, we just read in 1 Peter chapter 24 that we're born by the Word of God. Now it says born of God. Why the difference? Well, let's take a look at that. I had just a week ago in Sunday school gone over these things with the class, so I would expect the people that were in class to get a better grade in the test I'm going to give at the end of the service. So, and I know your names, so, no. Okay, we're going to get an example of those born of God. Now, talking about born of God, once again, it's not those born of the flesh. We're talking about born of God. God's action. In Hebrews 2:11, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. I'll just go ahead and read this verse. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So let's go ahead and unravel this a little bit. The hint here is he who sanctifies is Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Therefore, the one Father is God, and God's family are those born of God, whom the scripture here calls brethren. We've got a family here. It's a family with a certain characteristic. All of them have gone through the same thing. It's called born of God. Now, I'm going to stop right there and go back. We were all once born of a human being. Our father's seed triggered an action. Now, this is a whole different. Now, that father's seed is a perishable seed. If it wasn't, people wouldn't be dying. But it was. That's flesh. Now we're talking about a different seed that is called imperishable. That's being born again. Something that doesn't decay, it doesn't go away, and it's eternal. But in the human being, the born again human being, you can't see it. In other words, say for instance, if we were to do a slow motion camera on an individual that's just on the verge of accepting Christ as their personal Savior, the instant it happens, and then moves on. If we looked at that picture and studied it very, very carefully, there'd be no difference in that individual. In other words, if we took 2 or 3 seconds and went over an hour time thing with pictures, there'd be no difference. In other words, it's an inward thing. It's the inner man that was happening about. Now, theology calls it the soul, the inward man. It's not the outward manifestation. Now, eventually there is an outward manifestation, yeah. But something happens inside that born-again believer, and that's where the life is. And that's the one that is eternal. Early in 1 Peter, if we just backed up from 23 and looked at verse 17, if you can look there right in your Bibles, And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, did you notice the phrase Father there? We're not talking about our earthly fathers. We're talking about our heavenly Father. We're talking about the individual with whom we are born again. Now, and if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear upon the time of your stay upon earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. Two fathers, you counted them in two verses there. Two fathers, God and forefathers. So, as a born-again believer, once again, I want to qualify that. As a born-again believer, you know, we stem from two fathers. Now we think, well, my earthly father is so-and-so, but the father the scripture talks about is Adam. We all stem from Adam. And the God it's talking about is our heavenly father. Two fathers. Now, the only people that walk the planet that have two fathers are Christians. Everybody else has one. That's the miracle that took place. So, being born again, you all of a sudden have another father whom you belong to, and it's his holy people. It's his chosen nation. Now, back to 1 Peter 23. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of a seed, once again we got to use that word, not, which is perishable, but perishable, not of a seed which is perishable, or but the imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God. Well, we need to go back and entertain that idea of the word of God, because we've just established we were born of God. Now, what is this born of the word of God? Excuse me. Back in John 1, we understand and we remember, and probably everybody in here can quote it, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God, the Word was God. Now, in verse 14, the Word became flesh, that was Christ. Christ was fully God. He was his only begotten son. So when we substitute, now we're using the concept of substituting terminology, of those born of God, yeah, they were born of the Word of God, because the Word of God was God. And that Word became flesh, that was Christ. So it's that substitution so that it unravels a dilemma in the Scriptures for us, so that we can make use of these things. That's why this Word, we could say it's almost literally God. God speaking, God's ideas, God's thoughts. So when we study it, we communicate with God. If anything else, we don't. Everything else is dead. This one's alive. That's why, you know, as Christians, we study these things. This is the way we were born from this. So when he says that scripture, sure, he was talking about the message from God's word, but he's also talking about God. That's the way you were born again. That, in other words, can we say, well, God can't be a book. Well, he can have the capabilities that that book has. So you get the idea of what I'm saying, that Christ was fully God. Therefore, the imperishable seed is the living and enduring word of God. Now, I want to go back to the concept of the seed again. We're not talking about a normal seed as we know it. In 1 John, there's a little verse there. Chapter 3, verse 9. No one who is born of God, that's our subject we're talking about, born of God, practices sin. In other words, repeatedly does it. That's what that's saying right there. No one who is born of God repeatedly practices sin, because God's imperishable seed abides in that person. How did it get there? How come we use that seed? Once again, it's the start of something brand new that in the flesh we hardly ever think about. This is a spiritual picture. This is an eternal group of people, those born again. Now, we call them Christians. We call it the gathering or the church. But the criteria to be met, and I never cease saying that, they have to be born again. Nothing else gets it. All kinds of ideas. The born again is the important thing. Born of God. That's the important thing to remember here. Okay. God's Word, imperishable seed, Word of God. We can kind of think of those synonymously. The way to describe our new birth, if we want to look at it a little more in detail, we can look at Luke chapter 1, verses 35. I'm just going to paraphrase what happened because you all know this. We just looked at it a few weeks ago. The time we call Christmas is a result of an individual born of God. 9 months earlier, we read that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and the holy offspring. We remember Mary was a virgin. She didn't receive a natural seed, but you could say she received a seed. It was the work of the Holy Spirit upon Mary, so that the holy offspring was God and it was man. If it would have been a natural seed, it wouldn't have the God characteristic there, whom we know as Christ. As born again, it's very similar to now. Now, I'm not saying it's the same thing. But being born of God, we as human beings received instantaneously God's seed, and we became a new creature in Christ. That's what that's saying. Now, the problem with that is it's hard to see it. Got to turn the page here. The difficulty for us as Christians is the fact that God, in His infinite wisdom, chose to place what we are as Christians in the old container. And we've gone over and over again. So as we look at an individual and all of our friends and relatives and things like this, even in this congregation, those that profess being born again, outwardly, they look the same. Inwardly, they're a human being that isn't going to endure forever. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, when we looked at that, the outward man is coming apart, decaying, but the inward man is continuing on. The inward man is hard to see, even though you're all beautiful and good-looking and all that kind of stuff. It's hard to see. Now, eventually, a human being manifests what happens inside of them. That characteristic, in other words, God's saying, I'm going to be glorified in that old container, and you're going to manifest what you are, born again, so that the world can see it. So your life changes, and then you start responding to different things. So we've been talking about that imperishable seed. We've been talking about our new father. Now, also that scripture in 1 Peter talked about the perishable seed. He says, you're not born that way. You were once. But being born again, that's not the way it is. The perishable seed, the flesh. I would look at Acts 17. I made this statement a few minutes earlier. Here's the proof of the statement. And he made from one man, Adam, every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. From one man, Adam. The creation, every human being, every race, stemmed from Adam. Now, we can prove that by other portion of Scripture, that one man is Adam, in Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, for all have sinned. We got that sin from Adam. That's our earthly father. That's our father according to the flesh. Now, that's not to cast any dispersion on your earthly father we got to understand that our earthly father is just in a long line of individuals who goes all the way back to Adam. And the reason we had to be born again is that seed from Adam was passed on to us. So all men received Adam's seed through their own father, and their fathers received it from the forefathers. Scripture calls it the outer man, the earthen vessel, the perishable seed, the flesh, the earthly tent. That's what Scripture calls that. Scripture calls it that. Sometimes those are hard to even repeat, but that's what the Scripture calls it. And he wants us to know something when he says that. He's saying, I esteem something else more important. We got to look at things that way. If God calls it important, then probably it's pretty important, you know. So, yeah, we decorate ourselves all up, da-da-da-da-da-da, that's fine. But we need to focus on that new creation, what our new Father is. And once again, it is a difficulty as Christians, is the fact that God, in his infinite wisdom, chose to place what we are as Christians in the old container. That will be a dilemma probably for us as long as we live. Pulling that all together, looking at our text there. For you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, or Adam's seed, but imperishable, that is, in the living and abiding Word of God. Isaiah used this phrase. It's a phrase people could understand. Excuse me. It's an example that he gave people so they'd understand what he was talking about. During the time of Isaiah, there were huge fields. They were beautiful. The rain would turn the grass green and there'd be flowers popping up and all those kind of things. A beautiful picture. But he says, flesh is like that grass. All flesh, not just some of it, all flesh. Every human being born of Adam is called flesh. All flesh is like grass. Like. In other words, he's using a characteristic so we get a better idea of what he's talking about. All flesh is like grass in all its glory, like the flower of grass. All flesh is glory. And you all know what that is. When you reach the epitome of everything you desire to be and what you really deem yourself to be, that's the glory of man, the glory of flesh. And that's like the flower of the field. Now, you know what I'm talking about, because everybody in the flesh strives to be that, the best this, the best that, and all that kind of stuff. The best quarterback, the best parent, the best job, king of the world, all that kind of stuff. And all its glory, like the flower of grass. Now, unfortunately, the grass withers, the flower falls off, but it's the word of the Lord that endures forever. Everything the flesh accomplishes is, Ecclesiastes calls it vanity. What a negative thing to say, huh? Does that mean we're not supposed to strive to do it? Not necessarily unless we overdo. But the reality is we gotta understand what we're doing when we're doing it. And God's telling us. And he's saying the word of the Lord, that's what endures. That's what was preached to you. That was God. And that's what endures. That's the inner man part of you. Here's what happens. I'm going to make this long story very, very short. Years ago, probably been 20 years now, Joyce knows about this. Some cousin, I forgot who it was. I had a great-grandfather who wrote a journal, okay, four different things. He put it in a little red book, da-da, in a little Bible. Well, one of these cousins got the journal and typed up the journal. And then she passed it out to the family. Kathy and I got one. Well, it was a year or so ago, you know, and I ran across this. You know how you do. And I ran across this thing, and I thought, oh, you know, I'd like to have this in my computer. So I started and, you know. Well, one of the things going through when you're studying that and you're really reading, you're going along. This fella was a very opinionated person. Okay. And he wrote it in his journal. And I got to laughing one day, I remember. I got a cousin just like it, you know. Well, he was doing this in 1851, writing this journal. And the cousin is alive today. I'm not going to give him his name because some of you guys might tell, you know. But I had the laugh. I thought, well, I got a cousin just like that. Very opinionated, very, you know, and all those kind of things. It's the characteristic is repeated. Now, he's my great-grandfather according to the flesh. And yeah, he skipped a generation, jumped right up there, skipped two generations, jumped right up there again, same characteristic. Okay, that's the way it is with all flesh. Those characteristics are passed down. Okay, what is this all leading to? If you've been born again by the Word of God, then the characteristic of the Word of God ought to pop up in your life. Is it surging through your veins? Or is it just things of the flesh? Do you respond to the Word of God? Can people look at you and say, he's a child of God? He's showing those characteristics. But do we look at it another way? I don't understand it. I'm too busy and beside it's too boring. And that's what you were born again by? You would never do that to a human predecessor. So how can we do it to the eternal God? That word ought to be your motivating factor that goes on within you. Well, I said all individuals have Adam's seed. Yeah. So as a born-again believer, do you still carry Adam's seed or the flesh? Well, I would ask a question. If as a Christian you have a child, does it need to be born again? Well, the answer is yeah. So you've passed the seed down. Yeah, that's from Adam. But see, the other part of you, the eternal part, the born-again part, we need to focus on that. The other, yeah, we've got to take care of. And the real difficulty, and I think I've mentioned this once before, as Christians, is the fact that God in his infinite wisdom chose to place what we are as Christians in the old container. That's a battle. So where are we at? We've got two fathers. We've got an eternal. We've got an external. Which one are we going to spend the most time with? Regarding the outer man or the flesh, I just listed some things. You guys already know it. The perishable seed, excuse me, it needs to be heated, needs to be cooled, needs to be fed, rested, has relatives, families, weddings, funerals, it diets, it starves, it needs a job, education, entertainment, has children, changes diapers, buys clothes. All these things are important. As Christians, we've got to do them. But that's what the flesh is. That's the outer man. I'd look at 2 Corinthians again. Therefore, do not lose heart, but though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day for a momentary light affliction, producing us an eternal weight of glory for beyond all comparison. For while we look not at the things which are not seen, but on the things... While we look not at the things which are seen, but which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. We've got the three things, again, our outer man, our inner man, things seen, things not seen, temporal, eternal. The important things is, remember, they're not the same. Scripture esteems one higher than the other. It's best not to mix them up. We live our life differentiating them. Those born again, born according to the flesh, that's one side. Every one of us were born that way. As born again believers, we were born again by God, of God, or His Word, the work of Christ. We've got two fathers, Adam and God. As Christians, we have that. We live in two forms. It's up to us which of the two we expend our efforts. You know, that's really up to us. That's our choice. Where are you going to spend your time? Where are you going to spend your effort? Is it going to be born according to the flesh? All of those things, nothing wrong with them. In fact, as Christians, we need to do those things properly, these things according to the flesh. But the eternal part of you that is going to last for all eternity, the thing God did, that's also there. I don't advocate ignoring my father's seed, my relatives, all of those kind of things. The problem comes in, okay, is God's seed, I believe, has really been ignored. Who we are in Christ, that new creation, because we can't see it, and a lot of times we'll stumble over that portion in the Bible. Now, as Christians, I believe we're responsible to God to recognize Him as God and recognize if His Word is even in us and surging through us and motivating us. That's important for us as Christians. The other, born according to the flesh, hey guys, it's an automatic. It's going to happen. That's just natural. The other, they have to recognize it. And you know, you have to really believe it. I advocate studying the Word of God. I like to do it. It's important to me. Now, I read all kinds of stuff, but the Word of God is central in my life. I like to teach it. And I test myself continually. Is this motivating me? Is this how I respond to situations the way God intended to me? Or do I respond according to the flesh? Those are the things we need to ask ourselves. So it's your decision. You live in two forms. Which one are you going to respond to? Well, it's set forth for us. I appreciate your kind attention. I'd like to have you all stand with me. What we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to return thanks for the food. Sandy's been working on those things. We'll have a benediction. And we'll be heading for the family fellowship hall. Our Father, thank you for these minutes we can have together. And Lord, I pray that you'll be directing us all to consider these things. Even this afternoon, we know that we can just sit down and close our eyes and think on these things, and we can all ask ourselves where we are. Are we responding to your word, or are we responding to the flesh? And do we believe there's two different things, even though the Scripture points it out? Pray that you'll help each of us, each one. We are your children. We are your new creation. And we do seek to give you honor for all things. Father, we pray for the food that has been prepared. We pray that we'll be nourished by it. Thank you for those individuals that have labored in this. Thank you for this sustenance. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.